Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us here today on another Read the Word. Been spending this whole year reading the Word of God, and we call it the majestic Word of God, because when you get in here and you begin to see it from Genesis to Revelation and that it all matches, you'll agree with us. This is the majestic Word of God. Tonight on our evening program, we studied with Jonathan Kahn the life of Jesus. And wow, you know, it's Christmas time right now when I'm recording this. And honestly, this is one of those interesting things, how you can just read over something, and just never get it. And I just never got it till today that Jesus was actually, the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 is actually all kings. And after Jeconiah, which was taken into captivity into Babylon, still all were in the kingly line. Joseph was in the kingly line of the house of David. When the wise guys brought in their, when the three kings from the east brought their gifts, they brought gifts in abundance enough for two kings, Joseph and Jesus. I just made some of y'all go study really deep. Amazing study that we had tonight. If you'd like those videos, they're Jonathan Kahn videos, C-A-H-N, and they're actually from the Jim Baker Show back in 2012. They're powerful, powerful, about the birth of Jesus and the lineage of Jesus. You can search that up on YouTube and find it. You will enjoy it so much, you'll watch them three or four or five times, because you'll be like, wow, is this amazing. And when you get there, go down in the comments or in the details of the program, and there's like five other videos in there that he's posted of Jonathan Kahn, and you'll enjoy it. But that's the glory. That's the glory of the Word of God. Jesus, born on the first of Nisan, which is the first month of the year, which is when Passover happened, which when they went and got the lamb for the Passover, Exodus chapter 12, it's just perfect. And who did he show himself to? The shepherds who were watching over their sheep, giving birth to more sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd. I mean, it's the majestic Word of God. We're going to get into it tonight. Tonight we're going to be reading out of this program right now. We're going to be reading out of the book of Acts, chapter 20 through 23, four chapters. Hey, hi, Sunday. Love you. Good to have you with us. Now, so I want to show you my book again. So it'd be a lot easier if I just put a picture up. But I like to show you my book because I want you to buy one of these books. It's a pretty good book. This is Paul's Third Journey, right there. And you can see, if you could get the page up close enough, it starts in Antioch and runs up through Galatia and then down through Asia and over into Greece, and he runs around in Greece for a while and then back up to the top by Macedonia and Philippi and then down through Troas, and he goes back down all the way down to Jerusalem. And we'll see in the text that there was people who prophesied to him, if you go to Jerusalem, it's not going to be good for you. You're going to be in chains. Well, then he leaves Jerusalem, and his next journey is to Rome, which God told him to do, and preach the gospel in Rome. We're going to see all that. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, what's the name of the book? This is the name of the book. The Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. This is a good book. It's not a doctrinal book. It's just maps and names and timelines. And we bought it in a truck stop in Nebraska. trying to show you the name there, Rose Publishing. And that's HendricksonRose.com. And I encourage you to get one of them. I really do. Because you'll like it. There's a lot of great Bible aids in it. And I'm not concerned. Well, see, I don't want anybody to throw anything at me. I'm not as concerned about what Finney, Wesley, and Moody believe as how to find out what they believed from reading the book. Because when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you about Finney or Wesley or Moody. He's going to ask you what you did with the Word of God. Therefore, you must become a good steward and study this Word. In Jesus' mighty name, let's have a drink of coffee. Got my grandpa cup with me. Thank you, guys. Love you. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this time together. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you inspired these great men. And that this book is a masterful genius. Of course, that's you, Holy Spirit. You were there before the foundations of the world. Thank you. And thank you that you live on the inside of us. Send Holy Spirit, leading us from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Acts chapter 20. Read along with me. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Oh, yeah, this is after he cast the demon out of the girl, and she was there making big bucks for the temple. Diana at Ephesus, and they beat him and did all kinds of things to him. And but I can't go back to looking at that 19. I'm like, whoa, I can say a lot about this, but can't do it. Here we go. Verse 2, 22. Thank you, Sunday. Bless you. When he had gone over that region and encouraged them many words, he came to Greece. All right. Wait, I'm going to open up my book one more time here. Page 180. There you go. So then he went to Greece. All right. Right there. And stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So he went up to Macedonia, which is Berea, Thessalonica, Amphipolis, Philippi, Neapolis, Apollonia. Those are all the churches that Paul was a part of up in Macedonia. All right. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus, Secundus of the Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Whew. These men going ahead waiting for us at Troas, and there's Troas. All right? But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Now, Troas is right on the edge of Mysia, and it's right across from Apollonia and Philippi, and that's where Paul had walked the first time. What would that be, his second missionary journey, where he walked for 500 miles, and God said, no, don't preach there, not there, not there, not there. Troas, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, which would be Sunday, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Preached all day to midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. That's a long ways to fall. But Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, do not trouble yourself, for his life is still in him. When he'd come up, he broke bread and eat and talked a long while, even till daybreak, and he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted, or you could say, and they were completely amazed. I love it. 13, we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos. There, intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trigillium. The next day, we came to Miletus. And you, on this thing here, you can see all of those little islands that they hopped across. And then Miletus, they're back on the Asia, on the land. 16, for Paul decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now, if you look at this, he's got a long ways to go in those days to be there by Pentecost. But anyways, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance and faith toward Jesus. "See, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying, chains and tribulations await me. None of these things move me." Paul said, "I don't even count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And how did Paul begin every letter? "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." 25. "Indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." That's the last time they're ever going to see him. "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves." That's a good place to circle, highlight, and point an arrow, star, box, or whatever you do. "Take heed to yourself and to all the flock which is among you. And they've made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come on among you, not sparing the flock. From among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities. And for those who were with me, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But he also did say, blessed are the receivers. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. I mean, you think about it. It's pretty big. Last day they'll ever see him. Nobody ever wants that from one of your spiritual leaders, but hey, you know, one thing about God, he keeps right on marching on. Verse 21, warnings on the journey to Jerusalem. Came to pass that when he departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos. The following day, Rhodes, and from there to Patara. All right, he's on the ship. Finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. Now, Phoenicia is all the way across the Mediterranean, past Cyprus, right into the Holy Land. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. Finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy, brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. Now, remember, now he's back in Israel. I mean, when you look at this, he literally traveled pretty close to 2,000 miles on his third missionary journey. He didn't have an airplane. Who in the world does he think he is? And he changed the whole world. And it's why Europe has the gospel and Russia doesn't. Interesting. Where did I stop at? Verse 8, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, entered the house of Philip the Evangelist, who was one of the seven, which is Acts chapter 6, one of the seven deacons, and stayed with him. This man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and we stayed many days. A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard these words, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. Paul answered and said, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. Paul was on assignment. When you're on assignment, don't settle. Don't compromise for anything less than the will of God. And I'm in Acts 21:15. After those days, we packed and went to Jerusalem. Sounds like they packed the Suburban or the station wagon. Some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Mason of Cyprus, an early disciple, with whom we were to lodge. And when he'd come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. They have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children nor to walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly will certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. You see that, love? Four men who have taken a vow. Take them. Be purified with them. Pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. Concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except they should keep themselves from the things offered to idols, from blood and things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, the next day having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, which time an offering should be made for each one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd, laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled the holy place." Isn't that something, that Jesus left that temple and entered into the heart of man, and therefore it didn't matter who was in that temple? 29, for they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. All the city was disturbed, and people went together, seized him, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions, ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Thank God they showed up. They told him not to go to Jerusalem, but he said, "I got to go." 33, commander came near and took him. Commanded him to be bound with two chains. He asked who he was and what he had done. Someone among the crowd cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. That's a pretty violent mob, that the soldiers had to carry Paul up the stairs. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him." As Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up rebellion and led 4,000 assassins out in the wilderness?" Paul said, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." He gave him permission. Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. When there was great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, I want you to see something here. These men are beating him. And the spirit of religion is always trying to kill somebody. They don't care who it is. I saw someone the other day on a Bill Johnson video berating Bill Johnson. And the video he made that they were doing it on was made 2 days after his wife died. One of the most blessed messages you'll ever hear. But what are they always trying to do? They're always trying to kill somebody. And of course, in our day, they're not going to kill you with their hands. They're going to use character assassination. Tell all your wrongs, your faults. Well, guess what? You say whatever you want about me, because everything about my life is underneath the blood of Jesus. And I walk in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus don't care about my past because he forgot it. And when you remember it and you bring it against me, that's on your head, not mine. And whenever you gather a tumult together and come against a man or woman of God, you are of the vilest forms of creatures. And you have to realize you're going to stand in front of Jesus someday and give an account of every word you speak against one of his men and women. Like, just like these people. You're going to have to give an account on the day of judgment. And it's not going to be well. Because God loved Paul, and they didn't. Don't get involved with troublemakers. Don't get involved with character assassins, gossipers, talebearers, backbiters. Run from them. Flee from them. Rebuke them. And what if it's my family, Pastor? Have at it. But don't be around them. If it'll, it spreads like a cancer. That's what Paul said. Chapter 22. Here we go. How are we doing for time? Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. When they heard, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language. They kept silent. I'm indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way. I'll circle that. To the death, finding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the councils of the elders from whom I received letters to the brethren, went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light shone from heaven around me, and I fell to the ground. Heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? He said, me. I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they didn't hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord said to me, rise. Go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Remember, Saul of Tarsus is blind. The light blinded. Yeah, don't look away. Anyways. 14. He said, the God of our fathers had chosen you that you should know his will. And see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth, for you'll be his witnesses to all men of what you've seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I am imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. Pause for a minute. When the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. He said to me, depart, for I will send you from here to the Gentiles. Verse 22. And they listened to him until this word. And when they raised their voices and said, away with such a man from the earth, for he's not fit to live. Same thing they said about Jesus. As they cried out and they tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. It's when they beat you. So they might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. The commander came and said to him, tell me you are a Roman. He said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. Paul said, I was born a citizen. Immediately, those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. You were innocent until proven guilty, just like it's supposed to be in America. Verse 30, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Chapter 23. Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, that wicked man ain't God's nothing. No, he didn't say that. Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for he sure isn't acting like one. It is written, you shall not speak an evil of a ruler of the people. When Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm being judged. When he said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there's no resurrection, no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees party arose and protested, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Now when there arose a great dissension, commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces, that's an angry mob, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. Verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Jesus stood by him. Did you see that? When you're faithfully doing your duty in God, the Lord Jesus might come and stand by you. How amazing is that? 12, and when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat or drink till they had killed Paul. Well, guess what? They starved to death, or they broke their oath. Now, there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we've bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries against him. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near. So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks to Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him, and yet they're following his orders. 18, so he took him and brought him to the commander and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. The commander took him by the hand, went aside, asked privately, what is it that you have to tell me? He said, the Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you. Commander, let the young man depart, commanded him, tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. Commander was wise. 23. And he called for two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen. Go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix, the governor. He wrote a letter in the following manner. Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. When I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. Found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him deserving of death or chains. When it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea, and they delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. When the governor read it, he asked what province he was from, and when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you when your accusers also have come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's Praetorium. Now, this is the point in every one of our Read the Word programs where we say, circle the wagons. You can see the Apostle Paul had the Word of God on his lips so strong, and he was sent to the Gentiles, but he loved the Jews, and he wanted the Pharisees and the Sadducees and his people to be set free. He didn't want them to be bound by that law. But if you choose to be religious and not walk with God, there's nothing that we, those who are free, can do to get you free. You're just bound by your own choice. Jesus said once, you make the word of God of none effect because of your traditions. The words of Jesus the Christ. And then he said, resisting the word of God. You have eyes, they don't see. You have ears, they don't hear. Your heart is hardened. Don't be those people. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, here we go. If you will, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Maybe tonight, the first night you've been back to anything that's close to God, and you're like, I want to pray the prayer of salvation. I want to be right with God. Thank you, Pastor, for the words you said. I don't even know what I said. But I know I was led by the Holy Spirit to speak the word that I spoke. You pray this prayer with me in the next 2 minutes. No matter who you are, no matter what nation you're in, you will be right with God. In Jesus' mighty name. You going to pray with me, love? Searching.
Yes, I will.
Searching. Got to find that mute button. Ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's your place. Make a bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands up and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. To every one of you that just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You'll find my email address, website right down there. Make sure you send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, prayed the prayer. Got some verses to send you. Got a couple free YouTube videos to send you, instructing you in the ways of God. We'll just be here to disciple. You might say, I don't even understand what's going on. Well, you were just born again. Good night, Sunday. Love you. God bless you. You and your family. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. God Almighty just came to live in you because you said, Jesus, come into my life. He said, I stand the door and knock. If anyone will open up the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. God just made you his child. You're adopted into the family, no matter who you are. No matter what you've done. And that experience is God Almighty filling you. He's the light of the world. It filled you. He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That righteousness. Though. Peace of God. The love of God. Faith. And now all you got to do is walk with God every day. That's all you got to do. Wake up in the morning. Father, help me walk with you. I have two brothers, Joe and Andy. You can't see their picture, but there's two of them right here. And as close as they could be to me, they both still have to go to sleep. And the Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Well, who's that? Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Living here. The same Holy Spirit that inspired this book to be written lives inside of you and me. Right now today. Just begin to talk to God like he's your father, because he is the greatest father there ever was. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And join with us every time we go live. Share this video with lots of other people. We've got a link right down here in the details that it's connected. It's a link that has every one of the Read the Words in it, chronological order from Genesis 1:1. And by December 31st, it'll be at Revelation 22:21. The last verse of the Bible is, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Send it to your friends and say, you like to listen to the word, and have them listen to it. It'll be a blessing in Jesus' life. Well, it's not all I got to say, but it's all we're going to say. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Every time we come here, remember this, we love you. And God loves you. And Jesus, you. See you soon. And Jesus, my name. God bless you, Blog Talk Radio. We sure do love you. May his blessing be upon you. I'd like to get this in your native language. Shoot me an email. No, don't shoot nothing. Send me an email, and we'll show you how we can make that happen. Till we see you again, may God richly bless you.